If you think yoga and meditation are some kind of contemporary health craze in Australia, well, oh no, they're not.
Concentrate on your toes by thinking about them without moving them as an isolation from the rest of your body.
That's the voice of Eileen Johnson from Grantham, a little place in the Lockyer Valley in Queensland. It's part of a relaxation cassette tape that Eileen produced in the early 1970s. Could you just make out the soothing ambient background music, the electric organ? Well, we're joined now by Eileen's granddaughter, Nikki Johnson. Nikki reached out to Life Magazine in response to our discussion about yoga and its modern appeal that we had last week to tell us about her yoga nana. Nikki, how did yoga transform your nana's life?
I think it really defined her life. She was, as you said, a Scottish woman who wore pearls, came out to Australia in the 50s. And when she discovered yoga, she went to India to learn how to be a yoga teacher. And it really just changed her whole way of dealing with the world, I guess.
Well, back around that time, there was actually a little bit of yoga on the telly. Some of you may remember Swami Sarasvati. How, though, did your nana, a Scottish immigrant to rural Queensland, get into yoga? You mentioned she went to India. How did that sort of come about for her?
She had been doing classes before, and just before I go on, I better let you know, her name is Aileen, not Eileen.
Oh, thank you.
And it's
sorry about that.
And it's Johnston with a T,
which she
would be turning in her grave, because Johnston with a T is Scottish.
Right.
So she had been doing classes. I mean, all of her life she'd been a vegetarian. She'd been interested in alternative ways of doing things. So health was always forefront for her. When she was born, they were told her mother that she was the youngest of six, that she wasn't going to be long for this world, and she proved them wrong.
Why? She was sickly?
She was sickly, yeah. She was the youngest child. In fact, they weren't expecting her to last long at all, and she outlived just about everyone.
Was your nana into the spiritual side of yoga?
She was an interesting mix. So it was, she certainly meditated, and she thought a lot, as you can tell from the cassette, about the power of meditation. She believed in reincarnation. She was also a mix between the Scottish spirituality and being fae, you know, being in touch with the other.
Oh, like fae as in F-E-Y?
Y, that's right, yeah. So She was a sort of a very quirky mix of a Scottish grandma and a spiritual yoga person.
Right. And how would Aileen start each day? Tell us that.
I will tell you that. I might not do sound effects. She would start each day with a lion's breath.
Go on, do the sound effects.
well, it was very embarrassing as a teenager to have your grandmother standing on your back veranda, hands on knees, bending forwards, and then opening the mouth and putting the tongue out and going, one of the many embarrassments of growing up with a yoga grandmother. But, I mean, we loved her and we thought she was amazing. But I guess we just didn't. It's not until now that you realise how community attitudes have really changed towards yoga that I consider how amazing it was for Nana to be doing all of that back in the 70s.
Yeah. As you say, she went off to India to learn how to teach yoga. And when she gets back, she starts holding classes in the local district in a church hall. How did the church feel about her promoting this sort of foreign spiritual practice?
They were very worried about what happened when the lights went down. So, which of course we now would know is for meditation or mindfulness or whatever you want to call it now. But back then, I think it's, you know, lack of understanding or being scared of the unknown. And so they kicked her out of the church hall, but she found other community halls to teach in. But it just, you know, it's not till you're looking at this side of history that you realise just how scared people were really of something that they didn't understand. And now it's it's encouraged, isn't it, you know, for people to be doing all of that.
This is Life Matters with Amanda Smith and Nikki Johnston. Nikki's Scottish nana, Aileen Johnston, taught yoga in a small town in Queensland from the 1970s to her death in the early 2000s. Who went to her classes, Nikki, in the in the early days?
A whole range of people, and lots of people went for decades. So they would start and stayed with Nana. So it was a real community, and I'm sure you're going to get lots of people calling in who remember my grandmother or who were taught by my grandmother.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. You will. I mean, she was a much loved person. You couldn't walk down the street of Grantham without having to stop every metre to say hello to people. But they were people probably who wouldn't normally, they were everyday people who were looking for something to either help them physically or help them emotionally or help them to calm down in the world. And Nana's classes, I used to go occasionally, but they were very much a mix of that Scottish old home wisdom and the yoga practices.
Well, some weeks, months ago maybe, in Life Matters, I interviewed Bridget Delaney, who's the author of a book called Wellmania, and it's a sort of critique of the commercialisation and commodification of the health and well-being industry. And in the book, she writes about a yoga class that she went to years and years ago that's really a million miles from the wellness scene and its designer activewear these days and, you know, expensive yoga
yes.
mats and stuff. And this is how she describes it. And I'm sort of wondering if this reflects a bit of your Nana's yoga's class.
Yep.
This is what she says. In yoga class, everyone wore woolen tracksuits or their gardening clothes. Some of them even wore jumpers. At the end of the class, we covered ourselves in old hospital-grade blankets. When you unfolded them, a cloud of dust would rise. Nothing about the class was a fashion statement. Mm-hmm. So that's from Bridget Delaney's book, Wellmania.
Well, that would be very much, maybe not the hospital blankets, but everybody was there in T-shirts or, you know, it certainly wasn't the Lycra. Nana had a whole pile of yoga mats, and I'm not sure where they came from, and they were probably all 50 years old as well. And at the beginning of the class, they weren't the, you know, stretchy rubber things. They were foam with a piece of material on top, and everyone would lay out the mats and then put them away. So it was very much a down-to-earth, no fashion, no hype about it. It was just, you know, with the point of getting better.
Well, you mentioned that she was a much loved figure in Grantham. Was she considered a bit kooky or zany, though? What did people make of your Nana?
I don't know, kooky or zany. She certainly had a wicked sense of humour. She was very, very, very lively, always had people around her. To look at her, she'd be tottering down the street in her high heels because she was not even 5 foot tall. So she always wore high heels.
Oh, so she was a yogi who wore high heels. I love that.
Really wedges probably more than high heels, but she just, you know, she was aware of her height. But her stature was certainly much bigger than 5 foot. Her house was always full, you know, people dropping in on the way to Toowoomba or the way back. And she certainly had a lot of connection with people. Probably her grandkids thought she was quirkier more.
Well, do you have
more than anyone else?
Any memories of her, say, you know, getting into weird yoga positions in public?
I have lots of those memories. I mean, she was trying to get me as a teenager to use goat milk deodorant and to do all sorts of things that, as a teenager, I wasn't keen on. But I remember coming back from the coast one day on the bus with her, so it was a couple of hours trip, and she got herself into the lotus position, of course, on the bus.
On the bus.
On the bus. It was perfectly comfortable. So, she certainly, it was an everyday part of her life. It was just a natural thing for her to do. It certainly wasn't fad.
Well, let's hear a bit more from Aileen, from her relaxation cassette tape that's called Peace of Body and Mind that she produced in the 1970s.
Head, neck and body in a straight line, and tuck the head down a little towards the chest, so the head and neck feels relaxed and easy. And place the shoulders in a comfortable position. What we are going to do is easy. We proceed to go through each part of the body, tensing, holding, and relaxing.
Aileen Johnston, born 1916 and a woman whose life was transformed by yoga with that lovely Scottish brogue. She in turn, I think you'd have to say, as you're saying, Nikki, transformed the lives of many people around her in rural Queensland. She taught yoga in Grantham for more than five decades. How old was your Nana when she taught her last class?
Well, she taught her last class on the Wednesday. She died when she was in her 93rd year, taught her last class on the Wednesday, went to hospital on the Saturday and died. And wow. The only, and she had, you know, been really, really well most of her life. When she was 83, she had a bit of a downturn, but she picked herself back up, got back into teaching yoga again and taught until she did die at 92. And the women from the class who rang said the only way they really knew that something was amiss was that she got them to do the same exercise a couple of times in a row. Oh. And they sort of figured maybe something wasn't firing. But, she really went the way that I would like to go, so healthy right up until the end.
Yes.
And it was just that Saturday in hospital and gone by Saturday afternoon.
And Nikki Johnston is the granddaughter. Johnston is the granddaughter of Aileen Johnston, who taught yoga for 50-odd years in rural Queensland from the 1970s, a long time before it was a fashionable part of the wellness movement. Nikki, I reckon I would have loved to have done a class with your Nana
yeah,
too. Thanks for telling us about her.
That's a pleasure. Thank you, Amanda.